Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Welcome to the Point Forward podcast, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Bucks podcast. I'm Lori Nickel, sports columnist, and I'm here with Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Journal Sentinel. Actually, Jim and I are talking on Zoom. Jim is in Salt Lake City, Utah, coming off his three-day-long duties covering the All-Star Game. We're going to look at the All-Star Game later. We're going to lead first with looking forward and talking about the news right now, if that's okay with you, Jim. And Jim, I wanted to start out right away with Giannis Antetokounmpo and his wrist. He jammed it on the backstand at the Chicago game last Tuesday. He had a wrap on it for the warmups and the game for the All-Star game. And then he did his little dunk. He came out 30 seconds later. Thank goodness, that's it. What do you know, or what can you tell us about the status of that wrist?
Yeah, so as we record, well, he's on his way to New York at some point today, Monday, for further evaluations on the wrist, Lori. So yeah, hurt last week in Chicago. The immediate imaging, no broken bones, or at least none that could be, determined on an x-ray. He goes right to Utah. His brothers, Thanasis and Alex, part of All-Star Weekend. And Giannis just did not want to miss All-Star Weekend. You know, from Friday night celebrity game through Sunday night's All-Star game. Evaluated daily in Utah here, Lori, and just the swelling did not go down. Obviously, a bit of pain remains, so needing to get further evaluation to figure out why his body's telling him something's going on with the swelling and pain. So that's the latest. I'm sure we'll get a little more information between now and Friday when the second half, quote unquote, of the season begins against Miami. But that's sort of where we stand. And I would say the fact that a player who is rarely has to get like extra testing and his body just, you know, I don't want to be alarmist, but I also don't want to just brush off the fact that he has to get further evaluation either. So we're just going to have to see.
Is that what's in New York? Is he seeing a specialist or something? Because I know the Bucks have their own staff.
Yeah, that would be my assumption, Lori, is that there's a secondhand doctor. You know, for Bucks fans who are listening, for instance, in Green Bay, Dr. William Anderson, noted ankle person. He moved his practice from Charlotte to Green Bay. So NFL players, basketball players from all over the world go to Green Bay, Wisconsin to see him. So this is not an issue there. I think it's, yeah, probably a mutually agreed upon person in New York.
You love to play TV doctor. I know this is your favorite. I'm being sarcastic. We actually hate this. We're both journalists. We want to deal only with facts, but we did see Giannis a couple of days earlier at Pfizer Forum bang his knee, go down pretty hard. You know, he was on the ground for 30 or 40 seconds, pops up, hits a few free throws, acts like nothing's wrong, plays well in overtime. We've seen this again and again with Giannis Antetokounmpo bouncing back from injuries. If he can power through it, we know that he does. I laughed at the quotes that you tried to get from him when you asked him about the wrist. What did he say? Hey, man, that's old news, which is such the most Giannis thing ever. Did you try to catch up to him? And what was his demeanor when you kind of asked him just directly what's going on?
Yeah, this weekend was really interesting, Lori. So his first public appearance since getting hurt in Chicago on Thursday was the celebrity All-Star game the night before. In events like this, the leagues manage it, and it's not sort of as free-flowing of access as we get regularly at home. So Friday, he is at this very public event. However, he wasn't supposed to be publicly available, and actually him and his brothers sort of showed up for the red carpet unbeknownst to NBA PR, and he just shows up, and it just happened. I just happened, long story, but I just happened to still be there along with sports adjacent media. So a lot of fashion, music, sort of your traditional red carpet kind of folks. And they were all very excited. They want to know about what Giannis is wearing and what the brothers are wearing and what, you know, all that stuff. So I'm just sort of shouting over these people about his wrist and the fall. And he looks at me and I'm like, the fall? He's like, what fall? That's yesterday, man. You know, and then he walks off and he gave me time this weekend. He knows me. He respects me. But if he could have avoided me, he definitely tried. Finally, Sunday night, skills competition, Lori, we just sort of stumbled into news at the Journal Sentinel. We were the only ones to report that Jrue Holiday was replacing Giannis. And because it was sort of it's Super Bowl light, a lot of goofy questions of these guys from reporters domestically, internationally, no one really asked them about this stuff. And yeah, so all of a sudden he's out of the skills competition and he doesn't have to speak at that moment because he's not involved. So finally Sunday, I had a good feeling, Lori, that he was going to participate in some fashion, and he did. So he had to talk. And then Sunday after the game, he said, look, you know, it wouldn't have been smart for me to do anything more than I did. But he did tell me privately off to the side, and this is our story at jsonline.com. It was very important to him as we started this to be on the court. After that, though, Lori, he just was like, hey, I need to be smart, blah, blah, blah. So he didn't really want to address it that specifically, even though myself and a few others tried to pin him down, which that's Giannis's way, though. I mean, you mentioned his knee. You know, when I asked him about it after that game last week, he's, I'm fine. You know, to your point, you followed up with that. He's just a guy who's just not, going to talk about how he truly physically feels in that way.
You got to catch him at the right moment. And the thing about Giannis Antetokounmpo, too, is he's really into the sports psychology. Someday I'm going to get that story. But he's going to be present and in the moment. So he's going to enjoy the family time, and he's going to do what, like you said, everything was important to him about being there and being with his brothers, you know, three-fifths of the family together. So I understand that totally. I do wonder, though, how this will be the story going forward, because you know, that jump shot of his, that mid-range shot that's been going, the three that he loves that he should take when he wants to take it, maybe not six or seven of them a game, but I think he should still take it. You know, who knows how that's all going to be affected. It's, you can't power through a performance injury that affects how you shoot the ball. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully he's okay, but we'll follow up with that. So the Milwaukee Bucks resume their schedule on Friday against the Heat at home, Pfizer Forum, and then they have a matinee versus the Suns on Sunday. They're half a game back, half a win behind the Boston Celtics, and they're one of three teams in the NBA with 40 or more wins. And what's interesting about this is I would like to ask you about two players that the Milwaukee Bucks should get back or expect to get back in the near future. One of them is Jay Crowder, who was just acquired in a trade, and the other is Bobby Portis, who suffered an MCL sprain and an ankle injury about 4 weeks ago. And the prognosis then was he would be about 2 weeks out. So they might be being conservative with his return. What do you look for, or what are you going to be interested in covering with the return of these two players to the roster?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start with Bobby first, because I think it dovetails with the conversation with Giannis. So the Bucks only have three big men. And up until January 23rd, they had all been healthy for the most part. Giannis had missed a handful of games, including five straight, you know, over a it ended up being an 11-day period with his left knee soreness. That's what led to the Serge Ibaka trade. And then, of course, Ibaka leaves the team. Bobby Portis gets hurt January 23rd. Now Giannis is hurt. We don't know. Will he miss any games? Will he miss 2 weeks? And then if he misses time with a wrist on a shooting hand, how effective is he going to be as he comes back from that? So the return of Bobby Portis is no small thing for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he was legitimately fulfilling the goal of his preseason, which was to be in the Sixth Man of the Year conversation. You know, he played really, really well this year before that. You know, 14.4 points per game, just about a career high, averaging 10.1 rebounds a game, a career high. Ton of double-doubles on the year. The three-point shot had not been there as much, but I feel like he had improved in some of the other areas of his game, Laurie. So I feel like Bobby's going to be back. He was looking really good in some of the post-practice groups we saw him in Los Angeles before the break. It looked like, I think I saw some social media stuff where like him and Jay Crowder were getting some work in Milwaukee as well. So if Giannis is injured, whether he plays Friday is almost beside the point. Like, he's not going to be right. So Bobby Portis's return is a big deal for the Bucks if he could sort of hit the ground running. Jay Crowder's interesting because he's the playoff acquisition. He's the guy who is going to have to be worked in. Now I'm curious if Giannis is out. I don't think Jay's presence needs to be expedited. Like, he wasn't brought here to score, to do a lot of that stuff. So I don't think they're going to change Jay's trajectory, Laurie. I think it's going to be whatever the ramp up plan is to make sure he doesn't pull a hammy, pull a quad, tweak a calf after playing no 5-on-5. I think this week of practice will be important for Jay. And then, yeah, we'll just see how he fits in. And if Giannis is out, all of a sudden there's 34 minutes a game. So, like, you know, Marjan Beauchamp's going to be playing. Bobby and Brooke are going to have to carry a load. And Jay's going to fit in there. So, really, it'll be, is Chris Middleton in a spot? Look, Chris Middleton sort of quietly missed the last game in Chicago, Laurie, that was not planned. Mike Boonholzer told us, well, it's not a setback, but we thought he was going to play. So what is that?
Oh, no.
So we don't, right? And so Chris said it, you know, I ran into Chris, of course. Chris, how you feeling? And he's like, he said it's not the same as the last time this happened. So that's another TBD this week. Is he practicing? and then is he ready to now go from 25 minutes a game to 28? Here in the near term.
Right. Yeah. He played 25. Is it the wrist again, or is it?
No, it's the knee. It's the right knee for Chris. Knee. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you think, a side note, do you think the Bucks are somewhat conservative when it comes to injuries? Because I kind of feel like a different coach, like a Jason Kidd. I know, first of all, readers or listeners should probably understand that the training staff, the doctors, the people who work with the players and their health, set the tone. They inform the coaches on who's injured, to what degree, what's the rehab, what can you play through, what are the circumstances. But ultimately, it's the coaches who decide who's going to go play through it or not. And I sometimes think that post-NBA championship, the Bucks are a little bit more conservative now. And I like that. I respect that they're in a good position right now. There's no panic. They have a loaded roster. To me, it seems like they can be a little bit conservative like this, especially with their athletes who are over 30 years old, like Chris. What do you think about that in your couple of years with the team?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Laurie. My first season was the championship season, and that was when on opening night, Chris, Giannis, and Drew played nearly 40 minutes against Boston. In a classic opener in front of no fans in the Garden. And it was a big deal because that was Mike Budenholzer and the sports performance staff saying, okay, well, after 2 years of Giannis and Chris playing 30 minutes a game and not doing any more, and the playoffs being a disappointment, right? Loria was, it was okay. They need to play more, and they did, and they have. I would say though, in general, the Bucks are definitely a, we're gonna slowly ramp you up to a degree. I mean, PJ Tucker showed up in Milwaukee and immediately was shut down with a calf injury, much to PJ's chagrin. I think he missed like 10 games or something like that. So like, and then had to ramp up. Chris earlier, I mean, yeah, he came back. We don't know if that was longer or shorter, paid 25 minutes, started to ramp up, then the knee. And then now it's been a slower build. But to your point, yeah, I could see Bobby Portis and Jay, you know, Bobby playing. Well, he might not have a choice, because they can't really ride Brooke like that. You know, but Bobby might only play 25 minutes to start, right? Maybe because he built up enough, you know, but it's still January. This is the end of March. This is March almost. It's a month he's been out. So, I would say it's I feel like they're conservative. But I say that, Lori, in saying I don't believe the Bucks are a load managing team currently. I think when their players don't play, it's generally because they're hurt, or, you know, Giannis on a back to back, like Giannis has played a lot of back to backs this year. You know, Joe Ingles wants to play back-to-backs this year, and there's a point where Mike Budenholzer said, yeah, I think that's the plan, like, for him to be ready to do that. So, Lori, I think they have, in this last 25 games, they've got a handful of back-to-backs coming up. So they're, you know, they're in a spot. So, yeah, it's one of those where, yes, on one hand, I feel they're conservative. I don't feel like they're, quote unquote, load managing. And it's hard to argue with the results because their guys have generally been available, aside from sort of traumatic injury, like slipping on a floor, spraining a knee, or falling into a stanchion and getting your hand caught in the pad. Like, they've had just some really weird luck, bad luck in that way.
By the way, it's February 20th. Do not rush us. We need to take our time. It's not March yet. Hold on. All right. I want to ask you if the February 14th game last week, Milwaukee Bucks against the Boston Celtics, is a game that we should highlight and bookmark as something to watch in going forward for playoff expectations. The Milwaukee Bucks prevailed 131 to 125, but it took a full staff from them, mostly full, you know, no Bobby Portis, but and Chris Middleton was coming off the bench, but it took overtime and a full staff to beat the Celtics at home, and the Celtics were undermanned. Is that going to be relevant? Is that something that tells you anything about the Milwaukee Bucks right now?
No, and I know some Bucks fans were a little disappointed with that result. Not that they won, but that it wasn't sort of some blowout. And I know Boston fans were like, look, you guys can't even beat us when you can barely beat us when Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Robert Williams and Al Horford don't play. Look, Denver rolled into town. Same thing. You know, Jokic, Murray, KCP. I don't think any of those guys played. Bucks barely beat them. You know, out in L.A. after the high of LeBron breaking the record, LeBron doesn't play, Westbrook's traded. They got like eight guys, and the Bucks. No, I think, Lori, that's just one of those where there's a natural look. You and I have both covered the NFL. How many times have we talked to NFL players about, quote unquote, trap games? You know, they're playing the crappy team in between the two big national games, and or they come off the big high of one. I think there's a human element to some of that, of the Bucks sort of knowing that they're the better team that night. And then the other team also, by the way, who are we talking about? The number one team in the East, the number one team in the West, and a Lakers squad. And at that point, a Lakers squad that just was shorthanded and quite frankly, just prideful, right, of their situation, where they're like, you know, they gave them a challenge. So no, I think the fact that Bucks won really doesn't mean much. I think the fact that the Celtics played really hard with their bench doesn't really mean much. I think maybe if you want to really drill into some matchups, I think the fact that Malcolm Brogdon gave Javon Carter a lot of problems, that maybe illustrates the fact that that's why Javon didn't really play last year in the playoffs. That's why George Hill was out there with a torn oblique and a busted neck. Now, it wasn't Malcolm Brogdon, but it was because Javon, for as good as he can be, is still 6 feet tall. So, like, I if you want to drill into it that way, like, look, the Celtics kind of went at Joe Ingles a little bit on the defensive end. Okay, what does that mean going forward? Joe and the Bucks will probably tell you he'll be in better physical shape to be able to handle some of that stuff down the line. Like, that's why he's on the team. They brought a 6'8 guy in to help play the Celtics. So maybe some of that, Lori, we can get into should these teams meet in the playoffs. But I think overall, it wasn't really much to pin.
Yeah, former Milwaukee Buck Malcolm Brogdon went off in that game. He was 8 of 17 from the field, 26 points. But most importantly, he was open quite a bit. Some of that, he just had to be open. So that was curious. And that was all off the bench for Malcolm. I look at it the other way. The Bucks won, you know, and anybody who's in athletics and anybody who competes in anything, whether it's amateur sports, professionally, whatever, you're not going to be on every day. You're not going to feel great every day. Things don't always come together. So when you do pull off a win, it's a win, man. It's a win. Like, take it. Go, you know, don't overanalyze it. I'd like to ask you one league question, if I could. The league looks different now after the trade deadline. And I want to ask you if there's any team either in the East or the West that you think got a boost from their moves. And I also wanted to just ask you, you know, when you were at the All-Star game in Salt Lake, I thought it was interesting what KD and Kyrie said. They were, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were very public about their trade demands, and their comments during All-Star break were interesting. KD said, you know, it brings more of attention to the league, and that's really where what rakes in the money. And Kyrie was like, not every employer you're going to get along with. Like, they thought it was okay that they voiced their complaints, aired out their laundry. And I wondered what you thought about that and what you think the league looks like now, if there's any team that interests you with a adjusted roster.
Yeah, so let's start there. Adam Silver, in his sort of annual State of the Union, which was relatively boring and uninteresting, you know, maintained that there's rules against public trade requests and he feels it's corrosive and not a good thing. I'll agree with Kevin. Like, I don't think Adam's, I don't want to say Adam's not truthful, because I'm sure Brooklyn, there are people in Brooklyn with hurt feelings. But I'll agree with Kevin. Like, the league has built this since the 80s with the Stars. So, and they sent out messages about Mac McClung's dunks having X tens of millions of social media. Like, this is a league that cares about social media. This is a league that cares about trafficking in rumor and stars. And so I don't really, Adam and maybe some owners and GMs feel like it's not in their best interest, but they set it up. They set it up. So I agree. I agree with Kevin. It's good for the league because it brings that attention. And because that's the way the league, that's the attention the league wants. So I think if the league went about its business in a different way, Lori, then I would maybe agree with Adam in like, oh, it's some sort of bad thing. But I feel like the league set it up for this. Now, where I'll disagree with Kyrie was like, you know, we should, this is my life. This is not a video game. So a lot of this stuff, you know, isn't good. Like, you can't have both. Like, you can't make trade requests and be have player empowerment and say what you want to say and do what you want to do, but then also feel like you don't you aren't going to get any repercussions because of that. Like you can't. It's not all like sunshine and puppies and rainbows, Kyrie. Like that's just not. You know, like yeah, it's your life, but also guess what? Like players were traded from Dallas for you or Cleveland for you, or you left right. Like so, like it's not that came off as a little selfish. So yeah, so like I but I'll agree that it's the league is sort of into this thing now. Lori, obviously you mentioned these two for a reason. They're the two biggest stars that moved, but they went west. I'm really interested to see what happens out there. I think the Lakers are a better team, but what are we talking about? I mean, they're not. I mean, maybe they make the playoffs. I mean, currently the Los Angeles Lakers are 13th in the West, and somebody will say, oh, they're four games out of the four seed, but there's like 10 teams in front of them. So just the math of that, like, I feel like, you know, the West is interesting with Phoenix and Dallas, these 5-6 seeds improving. They're not going to catch Denver. You know, maybe they catch Memphis. That'll be interesting, Lori. Sacramento's the 3 seed. Out East, though, look, the Bucks added Jay Crowder. Boston added Mike Muscala. You know, he had a nice night shooting against the Bucks, kind of a big who can stretch the floor. Philadelphia added Jaden McDaniels, kind of a wing, pesky defender. Jay Crowder-ish, maybe, you want if Bucks fans are looking for a comp. Cleveland stood pat as the 4 seed. You know, Miami's adding some buyout pieces, Kevin Love, maybe. The East was like, no, we're – you know, it's funny, Lori, like John Morant had the quote, I'm good in the West. Like, I feel like I feel like Boston, Milwaukee, Philly – we're like, these are the squads. These are our guys. Okay, Jay Crowder, like little pieces. But what you see is what you get, right? And so I feel like the East is like, this is it. These are the groups. The West, you had these sort of middle tier teams looking to shake things up. You know, Giannis's injury is going to be the wild card here. You know, the Bucks obviously have a cushion. They had played well relatively without him, Lori. 1-2, 6-5, I want to say, or in games without him. If Chris didn't play in some of those. Giannis, Drew Holiday didn't play in some of those. So, you know, maybe the Bucks can tread water in the next few weeks if he's out. And they, you know, they finish 2 or 3. I think they'd be just fine with that. So, yeah, I think the East is what it is. We'll see how the injuries go. The West will be really interesting. Can Sacramento hang on? You know, is that feel-good story continue? Or do Phoenix and Dallas really make a push in the final 25 games?
All right, I'm ready to move on to the NBA All-Star weekend, unless there's anything you wanted to add news-wise that I didn't ask.
No, I think it's really okay. You know, 25 games, the Bucks all year, Lori, have talked about. This is the period you want to be playing your best basketball. Injuries to Giannis aside, let's see how that works. And I know that's a big aside, right? But it's Bobby coming back. Is Chris in a spot to be able to play more minutes? You know, whatever Jay Crowder looks like, you know, because I feel like once Giannis is cleared to play, be it Friday, be it 2 Fridays from now, like, we know what he'll be and that how that'll work. Yeah, I'm just really interested to see can the rest of these Bucks, you know, start to gel and you know, play more minutes and can kind of continue on without him.
All right. So Giannis Antetokounmpo should be fired from all future responsibilities as captain of the NBA All-Star. I'm just kidding. I'm making this joke because anytime anybody makes the smallest mistake, Twitter blows up with fire him, fire. And us reporters just love it. Fire everybody if you're not perfect. But Giannis picked Ja Morant, which was funny when he wasn't available. And he took Dame over Drew Holiday, which was interesting. Can you tell me But then he took Drew Holiday, what, with the second pick or whatever it was? Such a different scenario. I liked it. It was pickup basketball style. How was Drew's all-star game, though, just from the perspective of how he did, what he got to do?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Drew Holiday was an all-star.
I'm going to interrupt you. I turned it off after the halftime show. I'm like, I've had enough. I put that thing on at 5 p.m. yesterday. The game didn't start till 7:43. I didn't see Drew hardly at all. I watched the show, and then I'm like, I'm going to sleep. I hope he got to do something.
So Drew Holiday, yeah. So real quick, he unexpectedly filled in for Giannis in the skills competition. He was not supposed to do that. The brothers asked him to fill in for Giannis. He gladly did it. So his Saturday night, he did some stuff. The only all-star on Team Giannis that played fewer minutes than Drew Holiday was Giannis. Drew played 9 minutes of the all-star game. I asked him about that, and he said, look, Dame Lillard's hitting half-court shots.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum's scoring 50 points. Donovan Mitchell scored 40 points. He's like, Lauri Markkanen was on their team. He was the lone rep for Utah Jazz, home game for him. He's like, that's what the All-Star game's about. And in reality, he's like, that's what I wanted to see. He said he was totally fine playing just 9 minutes. He took three shots, made one, sitting with Giannis down at the end of the bench for the most part all game. I think Drew enjoyed the weekend. I think he was legitimately happy to be named an all-star after 10 years. Lauri, he's probably been snubbed a handful of times in this last decade. So I think he enjoyed that. His family was around. His kids were able to kind of soak that in at the quote-unquote practice on Saturday, where they basically just stood around and took pictures and took half-court shots. And so, yeah, I think Drew had a good evening in that way. I don't think he was mad that he didn't play 30 minutes of All-Star basketball.
That's great. He's got the best demeanor, too. He really does. That's great. That's great to hear. I'm thinking, so Milwaukee was really well represented in this All-Star game. And I'm looking at, so Brian Anderson called the game with Candace Parker, she's just a rock star. She's the best. Melanie Ricks was there. DJ Shauna was there. And then Giannis and Drew. And then Alex Antetokounmpo was there representing the Oshkosh Herd for a little bit. Can you tell me? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sandro.
Yeah. And Sandro Mamukelashvili was playing in the G League showcase Sunday. The Wisconsin Herd, the Bucks. Let's not forget Whitnall's Tyler Hero and Oshkosh's Tyrese Halliburton participated. Hero, Halliburton in the 3-point. Halliburton played in the All-Star game as well. So, yeah, it was I guess it was only fitting, Lauri, that, it breaks on Saturday night that the Bucks and Milwaukee are putting in a bid to host future All-Star games in 25 and 26. So, yeah, it was a very Wisconsin-flavored All-Star game in the shadows of the mountains here in Utah, for sure. And I know the Adetokounmpo brothers, they love this stuff. Obviously disappointed Giannis couldn't participate, but, they're one of their favorite musicians, who I believe they know personally. Burner Boy performed at halftime. They were loving that. Like, it was, for Giannis, it was a big deal to have the family there participate. And Tyrese Halliburton showed out for those people who care about Wisconsin pride or Wisconsin products, playing well and being on national stages. There was a lot happening here in Wisconsin and Bucks basketball.
I'm so glad that you went there. I thought you did a really good job. I know that the Bucks fans really appreciated your coverage. Now, here's the thing. This stupid pandemic kind of ruined things for Milwaukee a little bit. It altered the NBA championship season, for better or for worse, in 2021. But in 2020, we lost the ability to hold the DNC, the Democratic National Convention here. I mean, they had it virtually, but it wasn't what it should have been. So now Milwaukee, if, just from a news standpoint, it's going to be interesting. The RNC is coming here in 2024, the Republican National Convention, big national thing. And then Milwaukee will get its first All-Star game since 1977. And it'll be either 25 or 26. Is that what you reported?
Yeah. So they put in a bid for it. I would guess though, Lori, that unlike, so in 2018, I believe they also bid on the 22 right. and 23 games, but I want to say at the time there were maybe still concerns over the hotel spacing. And I think with this Wisconsin Center District renovation, I know it's a boutique hotel going up next to Fiserv Forum, but I would feel like, Lori, if the political conventions were coming here, those are way bigger than an All-Star game from a logistical standpoint. So I feel like, and look, I don't know this, but as far as I know, those are the only bids that I'm aware of for these All-Star games. And not that other cities won't bid on these, but there's a reason the NBA wants 2 years, because they want those options. And Lori, the last couple of years, so I was in Cleveland last year, Salt Lake City this year. I don't think a ton of teams are beating down the doors for these things. So I feel like it's a good chance that the Bucks get one of these. I mean, Indianapolis is getting the 2024 game because they lost out on 21 due to some of the pandemic shifting around of things. Like there's not a huge list of future sites here. This is not like the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I feel like you're right. One of those years could be coming to Milwaukee.
Awesome. Well, I have one final question for you, unless there's anything you want to interject. But I wanted to ask you, if somebody were to go to jsonline.com this week and just catch up on anything from All-Star Break, is there any story that you would really direct them to? And I'd also like to let people know what's coming up. You, Jim Mozarski, came up with this great idea to come up with a 10-year anniversary Giannis Antetokounmpo project that half of our staff worked on, and we compiled a bunch of different stories, photos, videos, ideas that's going to be running all week long to commemorate this man-child who came here at the age of 18 and is now this mature young adult who decides, hey, I don't need to play through this for the All-Star game. I'm going to rest and take care of myself. Big. We've watched him grow up. You know, we've seen all these big transformations and changes, both in his personal life and him as a player. So I hope that people will go to that and check that out. Is there anything that you are really looking forward to running at jsonline.com or in the newspaper, in the print version this week, or anything from All-Star Game that you really enjoyed? I know you pumped out so many words and so much content for us, which was great. Is there anything that you're really proud of or that you really enjoy?
Yeah, I would definitely say for sure, you know, after the celebrity game, the fact that Giannis talked to me afterwards and exclaimed he wants to be a head coach after his playing career, that was, go check that out. just because it's, I don't know if that's Giannis hyperbole, if he was caught in the moment. It was kind of fun. You know, Tyrese Haliburton and Tyler Hero talking about one another and growing up together in the Wisconsin, you know, circuit, the AAU circuit, I thought was really interesting after the three-point competition. And then, you know, you mentioned Giannis, his sort of faux pas with trying to draft Ja Morant when he wasn't supposed to, sort of caught everyone by surprise by picking Damian Lillard first over Drew Holiday. Drew was in on that. They strategized about it. So there's video of Drew, you know, talking about that situation, along with obviously the reactions there. So definitely check that out. And then, yeah, Lori, to your point, if you're not a subscriber, great week to do it. JSOnline.com/deal. It's a dollar. You will be able to get and unlock all of this Giannis stuff, which not just starts this week, Lori, but I think we might sprinkle in some other related 10-season things before the playoffs begin. And so you'll have access to that stuff. And, of course, there is the playoffs. Maybe another championship run. This, you know, a new subscription will carry you through all of that. And, of course, the start of Brewers, start of Packers camp, and coming out of the isolation rooms, you'll have things to read. So by all means, yeah, definitely do that, and looking forward to it online and in print.
I cannot thank our subscribers enough. I know I rotate my subscriptions. I probably rotate between 4 and 6 a year. I'm willing to pay for content because I always learn something. But then I also appreciate the people who are willing to subscribe to our stuff too. And we can't do this without you guys. It's just a different world now. Advertising's different. So thank you to subscribers. And please reach out to Jim on Twitter. What's your handle? Is it Jim or James?
No. Jim. Yeah, Lori, I'm going to have to edit that out. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I am at Jim Ozarski, at Jim, Ozarski, across all platforms.
And J.R. Radcliffe, you better come back. I can't do this every week. But thank you so much. This is fun. Love it. It's going to be fun stuff to cover for the next several months. So thanks, Jim. Fly home safe.
Thank you so much. Talk to you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.